Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen and I are going to talk about some tough issues and see if we can inspire our listeners. We're glad you're able to join us today. And our prayer is that we will have something solid for you to sink your teeth into that makes you proud to say, I am a Christian. And when we open up the Bible and we see what God's Word says to us, it answers a lot of complicated questions if we just open it up. And that's why Dave and I ask each other these complicated questions sometimes, because we want to know what the Bible says about some of those things. And I have a good one for you right off the bat, Dave. Your years as pastor are going to come in handy to answer this question. Here it is. You ready? Brace yourself. Put your seatbelt on. What are God's promises to those who are sick and afflicted?
The Bible.
That's a good one.
You read the Bible. It'll come at you every page, maybe.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth life from destruction, who crowneth with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth our mouths with good things, so that our youth is renewed like eagles. That's in Psalms.
Yeah.
People sometimes, when they open the Bible, they don't know where to go to. They don't know where to jump to. So they jump to Psalms, and man, Psalms will...
Yeah.
It will give you more peace and happiness than any other book in the Bible.
Well spoken, my friend.
It'll just come at
you. That's exactly right. I couldn't have said it any better.
We could find 10 verses real quick about...
Oh, yeah, Psalms and Proverbs.
How the God takes care of us.
I have one here from Proverbs. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Proverbs chapter 4.
Look at this one.
All right.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones.
Oh, that is a good one. That answers the question, doesn't it? What are God's promises to those who are sick and afflicted? Boy, that's a good one. That's out of Proverbs too, isn't it?
You know what I remember about that?
What's that?
My grandkids.
Huh?
They had to learn scriptures when we were on the road for 13 years.
Sure.
And Tori, she always wanted that scripture to quote in the service.
Did she?
And she used to love to say, dryeth up the bones.
Yeah.
she'd back up and be so proud of herself.
Yeah.
And that caught her attention.
Yes.
And somewhere along the line, I bet you she's now, 22, 23? I bet she still
uses that verse.
Yeah. I tell you, she does.
Yes. Where's that scripture about them dry bones? Oh, my goodness.
Proverbs.
Is that in Proverbs?
Yes.
Okay. I remember my wife teaching that Sunday school lesson once upon a time, and she was just starting to sing, them dry bones.
Proverbs 17.
Proverbs 17, yes.
It'll dry up your bones.
Yes.
Or,
oh, my.
It will do you like medicine.
Yeah.
That's a merry heart. When you want to take a pill, forget the pill. Ask the Lord to give you a merry heart.
That's it.
And it will be great medicine. If you have a messed up heart and you have a messed up spirit,
oh yeah,
it's going to dry
you
up.
You're going to dry up your bones. Yeah, that's right. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 30. So he's been doing this all through the Bible. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Remember that Matthew chapter 8, that verse is in there. Yep. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts chapter 10.
Here's the best one in the Bible.
All right.
James chapter 5.
Ooh, that is a big one, yes.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Wow.
I pastored a long time ago.
That's beautiful scripture.
I pastored way back, 25, 30 years ago. I don't know. I forgot. Lost it. But I can remember many times, maybe we don't do this anymore. Maybe we do.
We do.
Take a little bottle of anointing oil. And go to the house.
Yeah.
Get down on your knees and anoint the person with oil and pray.
We used to do that at our Wednesday night church services. I don't know if they still do that. Instead of having prayer service on Wednesday night, now they have a Bible study on Wednesday night. So I'm not as active in that role as I used to be. But prayer services used to really inspire me. And we would have anointing of the oils when one of us was ill for whatever reason and needed a special touch. And we would all put a laying of the hands. And that's quite stirring when we do that. And I don't care what denomination you are, when you have a commitment to your power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus in your heart, and you want to try to lay your hands and touch and heal those who are afflicted with pain or anguish, that's as spiritual as you can get in my eyes. I don't know how you can be more powerful in helping another person in need when you try to touch and heal them with the love of Jesus. And the anointing of oil.
That's the preciousness of being a pastor.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be a pastor to pray for someone.
That's right. That's
you
right.
can carry your own little bottle of oil. And when you finish with your conversation, say, look, I'd love to pray for you, anoint you with oil. That's the Bible talks about.
Yep.
There's nothing more with feeling than that.
I agree with you.
People will bless you the rest of your days as you have given them hope. New courage to say, God, please help me. I'm sick.
Yes.
How about people today who are just couldn't get out of bed this morning?
Yeah.
There's people today that are sick and afflicted, laying in bed wondering, why me, Lord? What did I ever do? And who would ever come and contact me? They don't even go to church, so they don't even have a pastor. They don't have nobody to come to their house. And I think maybe we ought to pray today for these people.
That's wonderful. Would you do so, please?
Sure.
Thank you, Dave.
Our Father, we just approach your throne right now for people who are in bed, who cannot even get out and walk. They need somebody to bring them a drink of water. They need somebody to fix some soup to eat. They need someone to come and just lift them with a conversation that strengthens them. They bring the word of the Lord with them. They bring a little anointing oil in a bottle, and they anoint those who are sick and afflicted. I'm wondering myself, how many of you are sick today? Are there dozens? Are there hundreds? Could it be that I've been in the hospital the last couple of days just to visit people and see what the doctors are all about. And, man, I mean, the hospitals are full. They're full. And I pray, Lord, that you would just minister to people's loved ones, and grandma, grandpa, who are struggling with their health at their age. Touch them, I pray. And let this station be known for the willingness to stop a program and to say, God, we want to give you an opportunity to help us. Maybe we hear a good report of someone who reached out today and touched their radio, and WPFG reached out to them to say, God, touch them in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave. I appreciate that. And those who are in need of healing and wholeness appreciate your willingness to pray for them in their difficult time. I thank you, my friend.
How about the people who are poor today?
Yes.
They don't have enough money to pay the bills.
What are God's promises to those who help the poor?
Oh.
Well, how about those? We help the poor?
Yes. Yes.
He that hath pity upon the poor leadeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given, he will pay himself again. Proverbs 19. Again, we're looking at Proverbs to try to find those answers.
He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. When I was growing up, I was a little kid. I used to come home, and there'd be a bum on the back porch eating a sandwich that my mom had fixed for him. I said, Mom, how did these people know that we give to them and you make a sandwich? They come, look at them. And every morning I come, go to school, and there they are out there waiting for your good bread. And my mom, she said, don't be afraid to give a sandwich in Jesus' name. These fellows will keep coming back again and again and again. And I grew up with that. Yeah. You know, when you grow up with something that you see every day.
Yes, it's natural.
You get a sense of good feeling, because that day I knew we were going to have food to eat, and mom's fixing a sandwich.
Yeah, yes. Bless her heart.
And then we could sit down and eat and be happy.
And she would do that, share with every one of them.
I still do that. You come to my house and sit on my back porch, I'll get you a sandwich.
Really?
Of some kind.
Yes.
Peanut butter.
Yeah, but it'd be a sandwich of some kind.
All right.
That's very stirring.
You want to come tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes. I've been to your house before, and you've given me sandwiches before. but that is stirring when you do that. And I have to confess, I've never had, where I live now, I've never had anyone knock on my door and said, friend, can you help me out and give me a sandwich or a bowl of soup? I've never had that. Oh, but I would. However, I have served many meals to many, many, many people. I like to cook, so I invite people to come in for a nice meal. If they have a favorite meal, and I'll cook it for them. Or if they don't have a favorite, I'll tell them what I like to make. That's sharing, that idea of sharing. They don't have to be begging for it. I just like to share with people. Makes me feel like a king when I do that. I'm like, make a nice meal and people are eating it and they really appreciate it and they'll say thank you very much. Don't you feel good when that happens?
You bet.
I think it does. It just makes my whole day very worthwhile when I'm able to share with other people.
I'm coming to your house. And
you can come anytime.
Okay, in July. Yeah. My wife is, Judy's going to have her hip
fixed. Okay.
And she'll probably be in the hospital a couple of days.
All right, I'll feed you.
I will come to your house.
I will feed you 3 meals a day.
I'll bring 100 people with me.
You can put that down to 20 and I'll take care of you. 100 might be complicated.
Yes, I'm only joking.
But I would be glad to have you. Yep, you just tell me your favorite meal, and I'll have it ready for him.
Well,
yes.
When people come to my house,
yes,
I sure want to.
But your wife is having some surgery, isn't she?
She's getting a new hip.
Getting a whole new hip or half a hip? Or
I don't know. It's all.
Yeah, you're not sure what all the doctors are doing.
I hope it's a whole new one so it works.
Yeah. Well, I know I've heard of people getting half, one side.
Oh, no. I'm not going for that. I told her.
You want the whole thing.
If you're going to get it, go for it.
Go for the gusto. Okay, well, that's good. Well, we will pray for her. But there's a lot of things that God promised to help these people that are less fortunate than us. And those of us who do help these people who are poor or down and out, or they're just going through some tough times, we are to be richly rewarded for our efforts. And I think that starts with just feeling good. How about John 3? You like 3:18? How about John 3:18? You know what it says? My little children, let us not love in the word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's 1 John. So there's a lot of power there about saving and helping other people. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. See, that's one of your favorite verses, I know. What are God's promised rewards to those who obey him? That's a good one. If ye will be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I like that. Now, here's one of my very favorites that comes out of James. You and I both like the book of James, chapter 1. Here's a good verse for you. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tired.
Tried and tired.
That's right.
I think that's
he shall receive, the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So that's a very powerful verse. So you're promised to have reap the rewards from when you are sharing with other people and you are obeying the word of God, that you're going to be blessed tenfold or a hundredfold. Again and again, you're going to be blessed.
It's not a dinky little thing.
Eternity
is going to be expensive, and we don't have to pay for it.
It won't cost us a dime.
It's going to be worth millions. We'll all be millionaires.
Yes. That's right. When the streets are paved with gold, you're very wealthy, aren't you?
You never make it. Read the Bible. It's coming in the future.
The answers are right there for you. You don't have to dig real hard. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give me every man according as his work shall be. Well, I like that verse. That's right out of Revelation. In other words, whatever you put in, you're going to be able to get back out. You're going to reap the benefits. You help somebody, you help yourself, you help your family, you help your friends, you help your buddy when his wife is getting a hip replacement.
Right.
You're going to be rewarded. And that's how it works with God's love. You're going to be rewarded for all of your good deeds. So it's not a task or a chore to be kind and generous in helping others. You can even think of it as a selfish thing if you want to. I don't care. As long as you're doing it, as long as you're helping other people. And if you think that as making yourself feel real good is a reward enough, that's the way I see it. I think that's enough for me. I don't need anything else. Just feeling good about helping other people is my reward. Did God write the Bible? That's a question for you, Dave. Did God write the Bible?
You bet.
Oh, good. Tell me about words to say
in
that.
In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Yes.
And the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth.
Yes.
That's John 1. John 1, verse 1 to 14. What
That's
an incredible
powerful
portion of Scripture.
Yes, it is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction, all this is done for righteousness' sake. And it says that in the Bible. For the prophecy came not in the old times by the will of men, but holy men. Holy men of God spake as they were to move by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter tells us that. So, yes, it's all inspirational words of God passed on to man, and man just recorded them. But that's the way that the Bible is all based on God's Word. I like that those scriptures that make that clear to us.
We got to study the Bible. We need to study the Bible.
We all do, all of us.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You can't beat the Bible.
That's right. You can't beat the Bible for
powerful
scripture.
The Bible will give you the scripture, put you right back on top of the list.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in the mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Deuteronomy chapter 30. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do good according to that is written therein. For then thou shalt make his way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So you want to prosper? You want success? You find your works in the Bible, and that brings it about. I think the major point I get there is you have to put something in to expect something to come back out. And that's how God works. You put in, and you're going to get tenfold, or maybe a hundredfold. And the Bible is clear about that. It says it periodically. Be ye mindful, always of his covenant, the word of which he commands to a 10,000 generation. First Chronicles is all the way back in the Old Testament, says those kind of things.
That's why we have Bible schools,
yeah,
and universities where hundreds and thousands of young people are attending school. And, you know, I went there when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
I knew very little about life and about the Bible.
Well, none of us know it at 10
and
at 19.
Yeah. You start at 7 o'clock, you go to your first class, and by 4 o'clock...
Yeah, you're spent.
You're spent. and you give that 4 years.
That's right.
And... You can walk away with something in your heart that will never leave you. And
that's right.
I left Bible college. I left Bible college after 4 years when I was 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been about 22.
Yeah.
So that's, what, 60 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I was ready to get married after that. I was ready to go to church. I was ready to preach. I was ready to sing the gospel. I was ready to tell people about Jesus.
I was doing it all.
When I got my little diploma and walked away and said, yes, thank you, folk. I appreciate all of it. Now I know what to do with life.
Yeah.
And I went there because I wanted to hear from God. And it took me 4 years to continue to hear his voice.
And you did.
And to do what he said that I should do.
You have been richly rewarded for your efforts.
Yes, I would. If you want to read, my brother came to town a couple of Sundays ago. He's 10 years younger than me, and I called him and I said, Phil, I haven't heard from you for years. You work for a company that cans tomatoes and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I said, what are you doing about the Lord? Shocked me out of my shoes when he said, you know, I'm memorizing verses and chapters in the Bible. Said, I am every day in the Word, memorizing it. I said, why don't you come to my small group and talk to us about Bible memorization?
And he did?
He came.
Really?
And he stood up to his feet and he said, you know, he said, I wanted to love God's word. And he said, I didn't think I was very studious and very, very much of a study person. So I looked in the Bible and I thought, well, I could take at least one verse and see if I could memorize that. And then he said, I could take maybe two verses. And boy, he was shocked himself out. You know, and then he looked and he said, maybe I could learn a chapter. And he memorized the 91st. Psalm, and he was on his way. And he said, I can memorize anything now. I believe I know how to do it. God will help me. So I'm enjoying it, and I just came here to see my brother Dave and to see all of you people and maybe get you interested in putting to memory some of God's word. And
how about that?
I think that's... He changed.
Yeah.
Our people are interested.
Brother.
He brought little cards with the way to memorize it.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, and taught my people, taught our people about all of that.
How to do it.
Yeah.
I remember reading an email about a lady who had memorized, I think she said Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and she was working on John. Can you imagine somebody memorizing that kind of
that
scripture?
That is amazing.
Oh, that is powerful, yes.
So,
David?
We need to study the Bible.
We need
That's
to
what
study.
We're talking about, That's and there's right. all kinds of ways. And my brother taught me a new lesson.
I guess too he would have. See, that's very powerful. And that's the message we're trying to share with our listeners today, that, you know, there's lots of hard questions that we all have, and some of them are, you know, we really have to dig to find the answers. But it's in the Bible. If you just open the Bible and turn to your favorite passage and read, you are going to get inspired. You will learn again and again and again. David, we've exhausted our time. We must say goodbye. But my, it's been a powerful lesson. I hope that we can pick this up again real soon.
Hey, tomorrow. Do we have tomorrow? That's next week, right?
Yeah.
It's going so fast. I didn't even know it was going so fast.
Yes, it does go quickly.
We need to talk about what God does for those who serve Him. Prosperity. That might be a good lesson to learn.
That's good. That's where we'll pick it up.
And until the next time, this is Dave Clonin saying his goodbye. God bless you very much.
Bye-bye for now. Thank you, friends.